1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Tonight on our show, we're going to have a Veterans Day special, if you will. We'll be featuring guests of ours who, over the last year, have commented on things military, things defense-oriented, talking about their military careers. We're going to have commentary from Lloyd Bonafide, the great Korean War veteran who has been a guest on our program for many shows. And we'll have Cadet R.C. Collins, who's also been a frequent guest on our program, Cadet Collins with the Bradley Military Academy. And I believe we are also expecting an appearance from Commandant Harvey Wireman, who's the Commandant of Bradley Military Academy. Today it's a Veterans Day special on the Phil Hendry Show. So give us a listen, pull up a chair, grab a hot dog, slap some mustard on that baby, drop it into a bun, and give it to somebody you love, because it's kind of a special day. Jeff Cabot's with us here, sitting, staring. Chris Pelton's here, just staring with a little bit of Budweiser foam at the corner of his mouth. Janice Ngaro is looking nervous. It's just another Monday here on the Phil Hendry Show. Before we get going, let's talk about that Soprano show last night. Wow! Baby! Man, I'm telling you, is that show the best written thing on television or not? I ask you, does it surprise you every week? Are the characters well drawn? Are the plots always very interesting? Is the acting superb? And last night, with Tony Soprano strangling and killing Ralphie Cifaretto, that was one hell of an episode. And the other fantastic episode of Sopranos, in Sopranos history, of course, also involved Joe Pantaleone, or Polonio, I can't even pronounce the cat's name. One of my favorite actors, and I can't even pronounce the cat's name. Joe Bologna. I don't know what he is, but he's tremendous. Also involved him with the stripper. Remember when he beat that dancer to death? That was the Ralphie character. What a show. What a night. What a medium, television. Can't wait till I get into it. I'm joking. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know why I'm giving the number out, because we probably won't be much interested in hearing from you guys today. Well, if you got a comment or two on some of the things that we are going to say and present to you, we certainly will. I'll be more than happy to take your phone call. All right, this is our Veterans Day special, and this very first little segment features our guest Lloyd Bonafide, and he talks about his grandson wanting him to take him to see Spider-Man. This is the boy's hero. Well, Lloyd is so, just absolutely so depressed by this, he walks out of the bedroom in his naval uniform, the Navy uniform that he wore during the Korean War, to show the boy what a real hero looks like. And what did Lloyd get for his trouble? The kid looked at him and told him that he looked like Donald Duck and laughed. Here is our guest, Lloyd Bonafide, on this Veterans Day special.
I am absolutely appalled that this grandfather is holding a 5-year-old child accountable for laughing at him in a Marine Corps.
But do you know the sacrifice we made in Korea?
I'm educated. I'm well aware of the sacrifice you made. What I'm saying is that it is absolutely ridiculous to think that a 5-year-old child is not going to want to go see an action movie with Spider-Man, Batman, or anything else.
But it's not
fantasy.
Real.
It's an animated character made for a child's imagination and enjoyment.
Well, that's where they got it wrong, because when a kid looks at Spider-Man, they're looking at something that spits all over the Korean War veteran. I brought my grandson out the next morning, and I showed him that I had burned up the Spider-Man plastic.
And exactly what were you showing him? That a grown man is stupid enough to take a 5-year-old child toy and burn it for no good reason?
I know. I wanted to show him how traumatized I still am over the lies that they told. Spider-Man, are you familiar with Spider-Man?
I have a 5-year-old child, and you probably traumatized that child burning his toy.
Please don't tell. Ma'am, when it comes to me and my grandson, mind your own business, all right? I'll deal with my grandson. Thank you.
Well, wait a minute. You're on here saying you burned the kids.
That's fine. Deal with your grandson all you want to. However, don't put your opinions on someone else.
I want an apology from that boy, or he's going to eat that thing.
No, he's not.
And you
yes,
are
he
being ridiculous.
Excuse me. Both of you, butt out. That's my grandson. Mind your own GD business.
Wait. It's my business when you force feed a plastic thing to a kid, okay?
Oh, it's your business, huh?
Yeah, it's my business.
You gonna come over here and make it your business?
No, I'll send the police.
Well, police could never scare me. I'll take on the whole
You make a kid eat a plastic toy because he laughed at you? He's five. Five, okay?
Why did they tell the kid that... First of all, who am I speaking with? Andrea, is that your name?
Yes, it is.
Okay, a spider has eight legs.
And?
And the Spider-Man, the filthy lie they're putting on the screen, walking around with two legs.
That is totally beside the point. It is a fictional character.
Fictional character.
Just like Batman, just like Robin Hood,
just like Cinderella
and Snow White.
All right, that's fine. But if Spider-Man's an animated character, then why does it have a penis? Now, you can see it in the tights. If you use a look, it's if you, what do you call it, freeze frame the movie. He's got a penis?
You go to the ballet, the men that are dancing in the ballet.
Those are men. They're not spiders. They're not spiders, are they?
He's Spider-Man.
No,
he's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is a man.
Oh, so he has a penis?
I'm quite sure he does. Cinderella had a vagina.
Hey, you know, how do you know that?
She was a woman and she got married.
She's a woman and she got married.
Stand to reason.
You know, the two of you, for the things you're thinking, you ought to be locked up and you ought to have your license revoked, Mr. Henry.
You came on my program and brought up webs being shot out of butts, Spider-Man's got a penis, and it's a filthy lie because they got eight legs and he's only got two. Then you try to tie it to the Korean War conflict by saying that all vets are against Spider-Man. I haven't had one veteran...
I don't know if you're hanging up on the veterans.
I haven't had one veteran call here and say that he agrees with you.
Mr. Henry, I don't know how you screened your call, but you could be screening those calls out.
All right. Chris, if we get any veterans, I want them on the air, okay? And I want to hear what they got to say about Spider-Man.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're just killing a country slowly tonight on your program. You're weakening a country. You too, Andrea.
I am a nurse, and I am a professional, and I am a college-educated person, and I do not buy into the fact that Spider-Man in any way demeans veterans. There's lots of things
that are done in the United States that demeans veterans. I'm a veteran.
But a Spider-Man movie is not one of them.
Well, you're the one that's
doing, Taylor. Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome back. That was Lloyd. From last April on our Veterans Day special, Lloyd's grandson wanted to find out about Spider-Man, and Lloyd thought Spider-Man sucked, so he came out in his Navy uniform. And that's kind of the way our program's going to go. It's a Veterans Day special for a couple of hours, and then the last hour we'll open up the phone lines and pick through the rubbish. Yeah, I was going to say pick through the carnage or the rubbish of the day's news. Anyway. Lots going on. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We also have a list of actors that served in the military. And I found this to be kind of interesting, and I thought I would just, for a moment here. Did you know that Don Adams from Get Smart was a United States Marine on Guadalcanal? Or that Eddie Albert drove the landing craft that put the Marines on the beach at Tarawa and Saipan? Now, those are just some of the World War II guys. Recent history from the Gulf War, Jennifer Lopez served with a forward tank unit in Saudi Arabia. Leonardo DiCaprio, and this was back during the Gulf War, so this is a few years before these guys made their initial name in entertainment. Leonardo DiCaprio was an Army specialist in Kuwait City. Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit was a Marine pilot. He was based in Saudi Arabia. And Tyra Banks, who is the beautiful model, was a U.S. Navy radar operator. So there are a lot of people, both in and out of celebrity, who served their country and served it proudly. Our number is 98686. This is the Veterans Day special on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's our Veterans Day special. We are featuring a series of flashbacks of different guests that we've had on the program over the last year. And primarily when we talk about Veterans Affairs, we talk about a couple of guests we've had on, Lloyd Bonafide and Cadet R.C. Collins. And by the way, when I say guests, I mean voices of people that I'm actually performing. And as no matter how often I explain that to people, they still don't get it. So it will be my duty for the rest of my life to try and explain this show to everybody. But when you hear the voices of our guests, you will know that it's actually me. And the reason why that's particularly interesting is because you'll also hear callers who believe those guest voices are actually real people. In fact, here's a lady who is absolutely outraged that Cadet R.C. Collins slugged a woman who bumped into him. Cadet Collins believed that a woman bumping into a man created some kind of humiliation. And so the Bradley Military Academy Commandant's Ball was denying women entry to that ball, and the cadets would just go in themselves and dance with each other, I guess. Here is R.C. Collins with his explanation of slugging that woman.
All I have to say to you is, yes, you are a son. You are freaking 16 years old.
I'm in a military academy.
You still need to grow up. You clocked a woman for freaking accidentally bumping into you. What kind of psycho do you, are you, honestly?
How come women get to hit men and men don't get a hit?
Oh, it was an accident. She even apologized. Oh, yeah, my dad grew up in the military, and you know what? We had none of this. We had any of this. Man, that guy got put in his place in a matter of seconds.
That was
you would never, ever do that to a woman. No, never. No. Do you understand? No. You gotta understand. You need to wait your turn. You need to learn your place.
I'm 16. I'm gonna be graduated next year.
Who cares? You are still a little boy.
A boy?
You are a boy. You are not even a man.
I had sex for the first time last summer.
Who cares? That does not make you a man.
Oh, okay. What does?
You know what? When you are old enough to realize you are a man, which you are not, just because you have sex does not make you a man.
Let me tell you something.
You go around and hitting women for the fun of it?
What are you hitting?
To treat them and let them know that to be in their place?
If you
are messed up.
Ma'am, I have to remind you, I'm a man, and you can't talk to me like that.
Watch me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to me? Are you going to hit me? Yeah. Bring it on, okay? I'd like to see you hit me. Because you know what? I put your ass right down in the ground.
Oh, I don't think so, ma'am. I do. I have the class record for squats and
actually impress somebody.
Tammy, I need for you to watch your language, if you wouldn't mind. And I don't blame you for being upset, because you're talking about hitting a woman who accidentally bumped into you.
No, I was walking down the street going over to the pizza parlor, and she bumps into me, and I go, what's that all about?
And she goes, it was an accident.
Oh, sure. She read about...
Oh, yeah, she purposely walks into you so you know, you can hit her. Give me a break.
Well, why
honestly,
do you do...
give me a break.
Any woman that bumps into a guy must be trying him on for size, and let me tell you something.
Yeah, that's it, uh-huh.
I make a very tight fit, so...
Nice.
Well...
So you're going to let every woman know that even accidentally touches you, you're going to clock her.
Ma'am, let me just say this. No women are going to be allowed at our Commandant's Ball this year.
Well, that's great. What are you guys going to do, sit around and hold each other's hands?
Oh, so now you're calling us queer.
Don't use that word, okay? But frankly...
I'm just saying, why are you guys doing that? To prove a point to who? To women?
The girls love going to the Commandant's Ball, and now they don't get to. We're going to dance, and we'll have the punch and everything.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I got to ask something.
You guys can have fun by yourselves, while the girls can have fun by themselves.
I got to ask you something. R.C., you guys are going to dance with each other?
Mr. Hendry, as I said, please watch referring to us as queers.
Well, are you dancing with each other?
We're going to enjoy the music and dance, yeah, but we're not going to slow dance or anything.
You guys, that's honestly ridiculous. You know what? You guys can go and have fun, because you know what? Girls do not need that from you people. Yes, there are a lot of guys like you out there, and you know what? All of them need to know, you know what? Girls are much better off without you.
We're in a military academy, and girls like to
dance. Who cares? You guys deserve to stay there. Stay there as long as you want. Just as long as you do not go near another girl and hit them. It's
and then
totally
this
fine.
Whole thing with the Commandant having sex with a virgin at 1 a.m., what is that?
That is a long-standing tradition. Those girls...
That is just disgusting.
Why is that? They freely choose to enjoy the company of the Commandant.
Who is, like, what, 80?
He's 67.
Okay,
oh, my God.
Nasty.
Oh, my God.
What?
Okay, let's go have sex with the grandpa here.
Hello, he's military.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? He pile drives.
Oh, my God. You're talking to a woman here right now.
Yeah. What about
he doesn't give a crap.
Right.
That's the thing. He's so into, you know what, I'm in the military. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to treat girls how I want, and that's fine. He will be by himself until he is 60.
Kim.
He will end up just like the Commandant, who is having sex with little girls.
Not little
and
girls.
And you know what? That is fine. He can do that. It's just because he is not a real man. He cannot go find his own woman.
This is a 75-year tradition. This is a 75-year tradition of a briar virgin.
You cannot respect women. That's the main key. You cannot respect women.
Allowing the Commandant.
You don't respect them.
You don't respect women. And then what is this thing about she comes out with her underwear and throws it down to the junior classmen?
Yes, sir. We do pass that between each other. And I guess you're going to think this is disgusting, too. We do sniff it. And then.
Oh, God.
That is really disgusting.
What's disgusting?
Of you guys need help.
What's this? We need help?
Yeah, help.
We are a 150-year-old military academy.
Who cares? You guys need to be shut down, and you guys need to do something else with your lives.
That's family values.
Yeah, that's family values,
yeah,
all right.
Family values that are messed up.
All right, listen, I got to tell you something.
Well, how come Channel 2 wants to come out and do a story about us and everything?
Because they want to show how psycho you people are.
And what's this, I wish I was in Dixie?
Yeah, don't you get it? Her name was Dixie.
Okay.
Mr. Henry, this girl sounds like her tubes are tying themselves together. What's wrong with her?
There it is. R.C. Collins from earlier this year talking to a young lady about why he slugged this girl and they wouldn't let any girls at their commandant's ball and they're going to have punch and everything and the girls don't get to come. I wish I was in Dixie. That's her name. Anyway, this is our Veterans Day special. And certainly I hope that none of you feel that we're being disrespectful to veterans. I wouldn't want that point to get across at all. What we're doing here is just having fun with the different attitudes that people have about war, the different attitudes that people have about military service. There's a lot of guys that think that they're... What? Yeah? David, are you there?
Right here. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
What?
You're obviously disrespecting our veterans with this crap. Now stop it.
Stop what?
Stop playing this stuff.
Wait a minute.
Just go back to a regular show. Don't play anymore.
Why?
Because this kid talking about, I wish I was in Dixie and the Commandant sniffing panties. You got this other guy, this Lloyd nut, pulling it out and putting it into a hot dog bun. Within 30 minutes, you've insulted every veteran listing.
I have not. I think a lot of them...
Oh, well, you speak for them now, do you?
I think that I'm just... These aren't typical veterans. They're...
Well, if it's a Veterans Day special and you don't have typical veterans on, what do you got?
These are like psycho guys.
Then call it a psycho weekend special. Or call it a psycho veteran special. Don't say it's Veterans Day.
Well, it's another word.
What are you saying? What do I got here? Porky Pig? I hire a man and I got Porky Pig to do a show.
It's a way for people to look at certain attitudes about the military that are amusing and rather regressive.
Oh, okay. Why'd you say so?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Our Veterans Day special will continue in a few minutes. We've got some more Lloyds, some more RC. We also have a Jay Santos we're going to throw in there for you. Here on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Veterans Day special here on the Phil Hendry Show. And some of the things that I want to talk about. So we'll do our flashbacks with Lloyd and RC and Harvey. And we also have some with Jay Santos. And maybe here and there we'll drop an attitude in. Just a couple of attitudes. Here's one from the elections last week. You know, the Republicans won. And that's fine. Good for them. I'm glad they did or whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me so long as they do a good job. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, what do I care who wins as long as the guy does the job, right? So what happens with Republicans especially when they win an election, unlike Democrats who, Democrats are the same way, but since the Republicans are in there, I think I'll take off on them. What happens to them is they get a real case of crusader rabbititis. They get a case of empowerment. The people have spoken, and now we're going to get in there. We're really going to kick ass. Right, right, yeah. You mean like you did with that contract with America? That kind of ass-kicking? So now they got a new guy. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Trent Lott. He's going to be the House Majority Leader. This guy is the senator from Mississippi, and he is a Bible thumper. And as if the Republicans haven't learned their lesson well enough because of guys like Pat Buchanan had basically just ruined their party, and, you know, the rest of these Bible-thumping wackos, they got this cat, Trent Lott, who says that the Almighty is using him to promote a biblical worldview in American politics, right? Let me clue you in on something. And you really need to get this one and get it good. You may think the American people are all in love with Republicans. You may think, because you got elected and voted in, that everything you guys say, every time you fart and every time you squeak, everybody's just right there with you, man. Let me explain the worldview to you now. If you guys come with some of this Bible-thumping stuff, if you guys start in with this Newt Gingrich stuff, and if you start in with some of this biblical worldview crap, you are going to be out of there as fast as you got in. And you remember when Gingrich was the heir apparent to the presidency? That guy was the next big thing. And that contract with America was the next big thing. Well, funny thing happened on the way to the next big thing, man. I don't know. What's Gingrich doing now? He's running a fruit stand someplace? Go in, do the job, keep this Bible thump stuff out of it. I'm all in favor of the president. I'm all in favor of attacking Iraq. I'm all in favor of whatever's going to get the country going in the right direction. But we have learned through the longest and most arduous process, this Bible thump stuff is nowhere. So, Trent, do yourself a favor. Forget about America. Do your own career a favor and shut up with that stuff, please. It's Veterans Day, man. You're bumming us out with your big fat mouth. Speaking of big fat mouths, here comes Lloyd and here comes R.C. Here's a little moment with Lloyd and R.C. when they discussed the role of women in wartime and how women could really help out in the war effort by getting infected with venereal disease and infecting the Iraqi leadership.
Young brother, did you ever go on a bivouac?
Did I ever go on a game show?
Bivouac.
Did I whack?
Bivouac. B-I-V. Tell them what it is, bro.
It's a bivouac when you go out and you camp as a soldier.
Yes, sir, we do at Bradley Military Academy. We have two field trips a month.
Two field trips? How long do you stay out?
Well, last week we went to the Museum of Natural Science, and then we went to Dodger Stadium.
Oh, my.
Now, bivouac is when you camp.
Oh, yeah, we went up to Mammoth.
What did you sleep in?
At one of the cabins.
Oh, and what did you eat?
Well, they had a buffet every night, and then they had a breakfast and a dinner buffet.
And what'd you sleep on?
On a bed. I don't understand these questions.
It's too bad that you didn't look at the History Channel last night and see what we went through with the infantry in World War II, laying in the damn park. I was in Africa, and I was in Italy, and then I did the invasion of France.
Yeah.
And if you want to see what the hell it was like there, you should have seen the thing on History Channel last night.
Oh, yeah?
I laid up there for 40
Halo.
Days at a time.
You did what?
I laid up at the front for 40 days at a time, kept moving.
Well, you're one of our veterans, and I honor your contribution to the great freedom of our country, sir. Sir, could I ask your opinion? Don't you think we could effectively use our females as deep cover agents on account of they could sleep with Iraqis and give them venereal disease?
Are you thinking of... What? He must have been reading that thing. I think about there was something about this
you
French
can have
woman
go
that
up
said
there.
That in World War One.
And yeah, Mata Hari, and she give them clap.
Oh,
right,
no,
hey,
brother, that
Bob,
isn't like that.
Hey, Bob, hang on the line because I've got Lloyd calling in. And, Lloyd, you're a veteran of what?
Yes, sir. I'm a veteran of the Korean conflict.
The Korean conflict.
Yes, sir. 1950-1952 as a Chosin Reservoir.
I know what you went through.
You better believe it, buddy.
You know, another one I went through there is the actor James Garner.
Who's the guy that was the general? I can't remember him now. But
wait,
he was
at your time?
Yeah, yeah. He was your guy, too. And he
you
was,
mean Clark?
No, not that guy. The other guy. Who was he, Phil?
MacArthur?
Was that it?
Well, MacArthur was in the Pacific.
Wasn't
I was
he
in
your...
the T.O. I was in the Mediterranean
was
in
James,
Europe.
James Cagney? Where was he?
Not that James Cagney.
You
James
know something? Hey, Bob, let me tell you what I read. That Cagney was a slacker. He didn't go in when the other guy, Jimmy Stewart, he got his ass shot off.
He was a bombardier.
That's right. And the other
and
guy.
Mark Gable was a gunner.
Mark Gable?
Yes, he did five.
Mark
he did
Gable,
five missions.
I'm not familiar with him.
He did five
Clark
missions.
Gable.
And he did.
And there was a fellow that died.
And I, a friend of mine died. We were pulling out of Chosin Reservoir, and here come the Chinese. But I'll tell you that guy, and I forget his name. Who's the guy that ran the whole thing?
MacArthur.
No, the other guy, the bald one that became, I can't remember anymore. He's talking about Eisenhower. That's it.
Eisenhower, no. Eisenhower, I don't think, was that time.
Wasn't Eisenhower a general in the World War One?
No, you stupid. Mr. Henry, could I say, this Bob is a veteran, and I am too, and this brat, I would love to take a piece of piano wire. Because this is what we used to do to the Chinese. We'd take a piece of piano wire and strangle them till their yellow tongues fell out of their heads.
Jesus!
Hey, tell them how we slept.
How we slept?
Yeah, tell them what the hell we slept
in. I got some of that Fraulein coochie and the...
Okay, wait a second. Not talking about who you slept with.
No, not slept with. Tell them how we slept in the foxholes and the goddamn slip trenches.
And I slept Well, I was in the Navy, so I slept in a...
Then you were lucky. You had a nice bed and you had warm coffee.
You got to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Well, listen, you little brat. When we went to the Korean conflict... In 1950, and the Chinese were coming over that peninsula, and the Marine Corps was sticking out like a sore thumb, and we went and got those boys out of there. And I can tell you, we used to take hot branding irons. And what I'd love to do to you with a piece of hot... Oh, God.
All right, well, let's...
Take it easy.
You know, my wife died 2 years ago, and I've got a blood pressure problem. But my hat's off to the World War II boys. You guys really did it.
Last night on the History Channel, tell this young fellow, if he gets last night
did
on
you
the
get
History
a purple
Channel
hat?
About the infantry, how they slept
kid,
in the... How
the
they
infantry slept.
Slept
in the foxholes. It was on the History Channel.
You saw that. With the rain, eating sea rations.
In the rain and eating sea rations.
Uh-huh.
What else?
What else?
And freezing. And when it was warm, it was sweaty.
Hey, let me ask you something, buddy. You play cards?
I used to.
Yeah, you want to hook up and play some canasta? I'd love to just hook up
The only thing I ever played was poker.
Yeah? Did you ever get some of that Fraulein Kuchen?
Okay,
No. I did not go to Germany.
Right.
I did Africa. I did the invasion
of
Salerno.
I bet both of you old folks came home with a dose.
That's a real disrespectful thing to say.
What is he saying?
He said we both came home with a dose.
What's the matter with that kid? Is he playing with himself?
Well, did you or did you not?
No, God's sakes, no.
I admit it, I did. You know who gave it to me? It was one of these Japanese gals. And I came back with the drip. Oh, man.
I was lucky. I followed the orders. I got the condom when I left with the damn...
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Follow the odor and put on a condom.
He didn't say follow the odor. He said follow the orders.
Oh, I got you.
All right. Bob, God bless
you. Well, listen, Phil,
I don't want to keep on there,
but...
you're great. You're a great man.
Phil.
Yes, sir.
Tell this kid what a bivouac is if he goes out in the
field. I never heard of it.
If he goes out in the field and he sleeps in the ground there,
that's right.
Regardless of the weather.
And let me tell you what, I fathered three kids in Asia, and I'm proud of every one of them. I haven't seen them since 1954, but I whacked my biv.
All right,
well,
listen.
I don't know. You were lucky.
With four different women.
You were
three
lucky, fellow.
Three kids with four women?
All right, oh. Bob, you're a good man. Thank you for your service to our country. What's
you
that?
You want to hear something funny, Phil?
Go ahead, pal.
My brother-in-law was up at the line for about 40 days. And he comes back there, and they give him a physical examination to see the VD.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
This is a training film for the ladies in the deep cover.
Oh, what the hell is the kid doing?
What? Okay, Bob.
Are you finished?
He
was up there for about 40 days. And he comes back, and they give him an examination.
Oh, yeah?
I don't want to say over the air. And he starts to drip.
Holy sweet mother of God. How about that?
Wait a minute. The guy says, this is the guy's on the truth. So I said, what the hell do you mean? I'm up at the line for 40 days? I haven't moved my bowels in 14 days.
Holy jeez. How about that? That's the Army for you, though. Well, got to get going now. I got to go. My wife's being cremated today.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you know how it is.
I had that. I've cremated my wife.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Where'd you put the ashes? I got to keep them in my car.
I'm keeping the ashes for me, and the kids are going to throw me over into a place called Peconic Bay, Long Island.
That's what happened one day, though. We were going to take the ashes of my uncle out, and they threw me over a cliff and forgot to throw the ashes. And
all right. Thanks a lot there, Bob. Training film. Yeah, that RC is a piece of work. There's a little bit from RC and Lloyd together on our Veterans Day special. And that with Lloyd and RC and a great old guy who called in about the History Channel, but they never did get to that show, did they? The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, a Veterans Day special here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're hearing different cuts from the past year featuring military guests, military, I put in quotes, military-style guests, primarily Lloyd Bonafide, our Korean War veteran, and R.C. Collins, our Bradley Military Academy cadet. I wanted to just make this note on this Veterans Day because I saw a guy with a flag on his car, and I haven't seen one of those since the days shortly after 9/11, and I remember how many people I read in the news and how many people I heard commentating on the news about how super patriotic and a little overdone putting flags on the car was. You hear these people, they would talk about how, oh, what is this, some competition on how many flags you can put on your car, and it was a ridiculous statement. And right behind this guy was a Mercedes, and I'm thinking, how come nobody makes a point of mocking every asshole that drives a Mercedes or a Lexus? I mean, if you talk about flying your flag, driving a Mercedes or a Lexus is flying a flag every day, right? And you don't hear anybody getting literally into the news and saying, "Why, this is an asinine statement. This is a ridiculous and it's overdone example of a adulation of a symbol or an addiction to some kind of power structure." It's only when a guy puts a flag on his car that suddenly he's like a right-winger or he's a super patriot fascist. Drive around in a Lexus or a Mercedes and you're normal. Drive around in the most redundant automobile the world has ever known, the Mercedes-Benz, and you are just, you're fine, you're normal. Put a flag on your car and everybody's making fun of you. How do I what? How do I make a what? How do I make an asshole? Oh, add a BMW. Okay. Anyway, moving right along, here's a little incident from last September. Lloyd and his wife, he got so angry with his wife She peed on the new captain seats in the Winnebago. All the year they've been driving from California to Portland, she never once asked to stop to go to the bathroom. And here it is, Lloyd and his wife.
This man has got a problem.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
I'm 69 years of age.
Your mental abuse to your wife.
I'm not mentally abusing my wife.
What do you call it if you won't stop and let her go to the bathroom when she needs to?
Let me ask you a question. Why'd she pee all over my seats?
Because you wouldn't stop and let her go, you idiot.
She was always able to hold it to Grants Pass or Geyserville.
Hey, as you get older, you don't have that ability much longer.
You know something, Gloria?
And you've been married 47 years, so your wife couldn't be too young.
First of all, you never eyeball a junkyard dog. I'm a Korean War veteran.
I don't care who you are.
I could drink
You have got no right treating your wife like that.
I
you couldn't respect her.
I could drink six pitchers of beer and hold it all the way to Grants Pass.
Well, that's not your wife,
man,
is it?
That's not comfortable. That's not
You're
your wife.
You're talking about right. you, not your wife.
Simmer down, Gloria. You got to pop something.
I'm sure I will if I keep talking to you.
Well, let me
you
say, the reason why
your wife.
My wife could hold it all the way to Grants Pass. One time she held it all the way to Dallas, Texas, and she didn't peep. She's held it for 17 years. What the hell changed? I'll tell you what changed. 9/11 and all these whiny
women. Oh, 9/11, you got that
changed.
In your crawd, has nothing to do with it.
I'm telling you, as sure as God made green apples, 9/11 made my wife pee all over those seats.
No.
What in the hell are you talking about?
You couldn't love your wife, you couldn't respect your wife, or you would have stopped.
Gloria, I gave my wife a beautiful daughter, and we raised that daughter in El Hamra, California.
What's that got to do with your wife peeing all over your seat?
That's right. That's what I'd like to know. I did everything.
Her bladder is getting old.
Yes, her bladder's getting old.
Right.
If you do muscular exercises, it tightens up.
Oh, no. Not when you get older and you haven't the ability really to tighten it up.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Where have you lost your water? Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me.
You, when have I lost my water?
Yes, ma'am. Out in the shopping mall?
You have
Very
no right to ask her
to
that.
Very close to it. If I'm not close to a restroom when I have to go.
Do you use the diaper or any other kind of...
No, I don't.
I see.
But when I have to go,
All
I'm
right.
72
that,
years
you
old.
You don't have to
when
answer
I have
that.
To
that's
go,
that's
I
fine,
go.
Mary. You don't have to answer that question.
Come on, I'm interested.
So there you go. That's very military in nature. It's Veterans Day. Well, Lloyd mentioned that he was a Korean War veteran, so therefore what? He can make his wife go miles without peeing. Lloyd's a bent Korean War veteran. 1-800-449-8686. This is our Veterans Day special here on The Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. You get product information there, our archives. Get a backstage pass. Find out all about it. philhendryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome to our Veterans Day special here on the Phil Hendry Show. We will feature a variety of cuts having to do with veterans, a variety of guests that we had on over the last year. And basically, they are Lloyd Bonafide, our Korean War veteran guest, R.C. Collins, who is at the Bradley Military Academy. He is our little military punk face guest. We also will be featuring Margaret Gray, doing a radiothon to raise money to kill Arafat, and that was one of the great moments in the history of our show, and some other things. I think Harvey Weierman will be along as well. So it should be a fun-packed show, our Veterans Day special, and we'll also be doing our usual chit-chatting about the news. By the way, I'm sorry that I couldn't make the last two weekends of football in San Diego. My friend Steve Lepore invited me to, not yesterday's game, but he actually had tickets to see the Jets game, and I am so sorry I missed that. 44 to nothing, or 44 to 13, whichever came first. It doesn't make any difference. It was 44 nothing is what it was. Oh, how I wish I'd been there. Oh! And then yesterday, they had a nice little lead on the Rams, but you don't think the Chargers are for real, do you? They went up in smoke against the Rams, too. So it's just, well, what it is any chance I get to, you know, give San Diego a problem, I love to do that. Although, we do have a group of very fine military men and women down there at the Naval Base. So, this show is for you guys at the Naval Base and at the Marine Corps Training Center in the San Diego area. And for everybody else listening other than the citizens of San Diego, I'm kidding. Our Veterans Day special. Starting off, R.C. Collins was on the program to tell us that he'd gotten not only a Marine Corps tattoo, he'd gotten Bin Laden's face tattooed on his rear end for his country. Here's R.C. You're not ready yet. Oh, I thought you said it would be 1 minute. Okay, well, we're still burning the CD. But in any event, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying before I was so rudely told that I don't have we don't have any material to go to here on the program. Here we are, R.C. Collins.
Semper Fi. Well, until you know what Semper Fi means and you actually earn the title of Marine.
Well, but
no,
I
there
got
is
a
no
tattoo.
Well.
Got
you're a cadet. You're a cadet.
I got a tattoo.
You've not been through TBS. You've not been through OCS. You've not even been through basic recruit training.
Ma'am,
you are a cadet.
I've done push-ups and everything.
Push-ups? I do as many as you do. But my point being that so you have USMG tattoos across your chest.
Do you do push-ups?
I'm airborne, so yes, I do push-ups. I have to do airborne
do you
statistics.
Code, have you ever code blued a guy?
Do you know what code red is?
Well, code blue is when a guy messes up and you got to make him do stuff that he's supposed to do.
There is. It's called hazing.
Yeah, what is that farting on the guy, man?
No, that's code
called,
blue.
That's called
what
boys one? Trying to be men, trying to be Marines. Until you've earned the title of Marine. Because you have USMC tattooed across your chest. Doesn't make you a Marine.
Well,
until you've been through you've been through boot camp, or you've been through OCS, or you've been through TBS.
Cut it out, you guys. Ma'am, with all due respect, you're a female, and I do honor the females in our United States service, but when it comes time to rock and roll, they're going to send the boys up front.
I'm glad that you're so narrow-minded that you think that.
Well, I mean,
I'm so glad that you're so narrow-minded that you have that mentality that you think that. It shows me where you stand.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Will you guys quit with the
service? Before I, you know what, if I had you within 2 feet of me, I'd show you what a Marine was. It's not gender. Just because you have what you have and I have what I have doesn't make you any different. I do the same thing you do. I'm required to. The Marine Corps does not separate.
Well, ma'am, you know gender. As well as I do that when you squat over your husband's chest and...
Okay, that's enough of that.
You know,
do you understand that?
Why does the show even bother with somebody like this?
Well, ma'am, you know that when...
I'm scared that you might actually become a Marine.
Well...
Look at kid.
Let me ask you this,
yes, ma'am.
Mr. Cadet Wannabe Marine. What branch of service was the first female killed in combat during Freedom? What branch did she come from?
She was a secretary for the, she was a typist.
No, she wasn't a typist.
No, she was a Marine. She was a female Marine. She was a 2531, 0631. She was a radio operator on a C-130.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Mary. How do you get killed turning on a radio?
She wasn't doing her MOS. If you knew anything about what was going on, you'd know that.
Do you listen to this woman?
She's
listen to this Marine. She has experience. Okay, you're what is it with the farting, man, okay?
We're code blue in a guy.
Oh, you saw for a few good men on TV, and you think code blue is...
It was actually code red in the movie if they had watched it.
Oh, I thought it was code blue. It's code
red. Code
you guys,
red, genius.
You guys, it's code red. Okay,
oh,
we got
genius.
It now. What?
Are you guys getting your jollies doing that?
We're just code red in the guy. Look, I know what AM and FM is, and anybody can be a radio operator.
It's a little more than that. Doesn't matter whether they won a medal. It doesn't matter whether they've gone into combat.
Do you have
People
a tattoo?
People show their pride differently. People show their pride differently.
Do you have a tattoo?
Yes, I have a tattoo.
You do?
Yes,
you
I
ought
do.
You ought to see the one I got of Bin Laden on my ass. His face lights up when I fart.
Oh, come on.
I attribute it to your maturity level. I really do. I can't even carry on a conversation.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
You can, absolutely.
And I don't mean no disrespect or nothing about this, ma'am. Do you like guys?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So
but
you,
I don't like boys.
You,
I don't like boys who don't understand, who don't have the mentality or concept.
Well, you
because
don't,
they go and tattoo USMC across their chest, they think they're a Marine. Until you've been through a 54-hour crucible, or until you've been through 12, almost 13 weeks of recruit training, or OCS, or TBS, the basic school, you have no idea.
I don't know what none of that is.
Well, why don't you ask her what
so
it is?
That tells me you're not a Marine.
So you're not
you want to be a Marine, but
so,
you're not a Marine.
All right, but you're not into female speed skaters. I just want to know.
No, I'm not. And it doesn't matter whether I am or I'm not.
Guys,
the fact of the matter being that I'm a Marine, I have a tattoo, and I cry every time they play, I'm proud to be an American, because you know what I am.
Could you tell me, is it USMC? Because I got US...
What?
When I got the tattoo, they put USCM.
What an idiot. You got USCM.
United States
Corps. You know what? He didn't get that, Mr. Henry. He didn't get that.
I thought it was United States Corps of Marines.
You're a moron.
Yeah, well.
You got USCM.
I wouldn't let anybody see that it was a Marine. Because they'll beat you with an inch of your life.
Look, Mary. Mary, they tear you apart in combat because you'd cry like a little drowsy doll.
Well, you know what?
Hey, why don't you guys go into combat and fart the Al-Qaeda to death? Tell those guys to knock it off now!
While we're out fighting the war, they're farting on each other.
R.C. Collins and his cadet buddies there at Bradley Military Academy talking to a real Marine while they're code-blueing a guy farting on him. Actually, it's code red. And there you go. This is the Phil Henry Show Veterans Day Special. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And we're going to have a few more items for you here this hour. We will be featuring Margaret Gray, Lloyd Bonafide, I believe R.C. Collins, and myself when we were trying to raise $50 million to assassinate Yasser Arafat. You won't want to miss that. Coming up next on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Welcome back to our Veterans Day special here on The Phil Henry Show. Now, this is my personal favorite, probably, because there's so much going on in this bit that took place several months ago. I guess it was at the height of all the problems in the Middle East. And I had made some comment that we would raise $50 million on the show, or if someone paid us $50 million, we would go and assassinate Yasser Arafat. Margaret took it in her mind to do a radiothon, to sing and have people call in. And I believe Lloyd Bonafide somehow made it over to her house. And you'll hear in the ensuing few minutes the mayhem that starts here with Margaret and Lloyd raising that money here on our Veterans Day special on The Phil Henry Show. Margaret?
Yes, Phil. I already know. I've been listening. And I've been brushing up a couple of numbers. Lloyd's with me. Lloyd, darling?
Yes. Mr. Henry.
All right, hold on for a minute.
No, but I want to tell you.
Hold on for a minute.
That's all right, dear. Sit down. Lloyd's here, Phil. Lloyd's here. And he'll help me sing the song. And I think we can do something good. Right, Mr. Hall?
I think you can do some great good, because it'll liven up this rotten show of his.
Ike, what are you... Are you honestly telling me that I'm going to sit here and do a radiothon to raise money to kill Arafat?
Yes! That was your big disc jockey morning show bit idea. Now follow through on it.
Phil, can I say something, Phil?
What?
I think, if not $50 million, I think we can raise a fair amount of money. Lloyd,
I want to say, Mr. Henry, that I think you're very courageous. I think Arafat is a piece of filth. God, I hate him so deeply. And I'd like to tell you that I'm proud of you.
There you go, Phil. You're really locking up that upper 70 demo, aren't you? Really getting that 75-plus demo.
Look, I didn't mean...
You didn't mean? Well, you got it now. Now raise the money.
Phil, it's going to be good. It's all right, Phil.
All right. What are we doing?
Lloyd and I are going to sing a beautiful, beautiful song you know this, by the way?
I do. I was out at the karaoke.
Hold on. I'll do it. Phil, let's kill Arafat. Come on, everyone. Dial 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd.
Say you, say me. Say it always.
Oh, my Christ. Hold on.
What happened?
He's down. The old man down?
Yeah, apparently. Is he all right?
Lloyd, come on.
Sing it again, okay?
Sorry, I lost my footing.
All right, Phil.
Say you...
No, not yet.
Not tell him not yet.
Not yet, hon. I'll lead it off, Phil. Lloyd, just lay down.
I can see up your skirt when I...
Hold on.
What are you doing now?
Looking up my skirt, Phil, if you must know.
You told me to lay down. I could see all the way up your poop deck.
Give me the phone. Phil, I am very, very sorry.
Do you understand what's happening here? Do any of you understand what's happening here?
I understand. You opened your big mouth and said you could raise $50 million to give any guy the greased Arafat. Now we gotta raise the money.
I was joking.
Bull crap. Go ahead, Margaret. Darling, it's going to be all right, Phil.
Okay, fine.
Good God, don't be angry at me. It was not my idea. I called in to think I thought I could help.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
I'm going to sing a song. Phil, I used to sing professionally. Don't worry, we'll get the money.
I can look up your poop chip!
Would you get the phone away from him?
I got it. A lovely song. Let's kill Arafat. Let's call in with the money, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. Say you, oh, say me. Say it for always. I'm sorry, Phil. Could we start again? Hello?
I'm right here.
Well, I'm sorry. I had a late lunch.
Where's the old man?
Lloyd, all right. I need to start higher, Eddie. Is the piano player there?
It's a recording.
All right. I'm going to start a little higher because my natural range is a soprano.
Yeah, right.
Say you, say me. That's much better. Say it for all...
Stop.
What?
I can see your taco.
Would you get him under control? What is so? You're a professional singer. Forget it, man. It ain't working. Yeah, hit that high note there, Margaret.
Phil, give me one more chance. This is for all of our guys on the front lines in Afghanistan and around the world, striking the blow for freedom. I want to strike a...
Okay, hold on for a minute.
What?
You got to watch what you're saying.
I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah.
Say you say...
Shut up.
Say...
I said it... Say you, say me. Oh, say it for always. Oh, that's the way it should be.
Man.
Say you, say me. Say it together, together, naturally. Can you believe an African American wrote this film? I had a...
All right.
What?
Do you need to give the commentary?
All I said...
I know what you said. Can you believe an African-American wrote this, Phil?
Well, I mean, it's a very nice ballad.
Ever heard of Smokey Robinson?
Yes.
One of the greatest songwriters of all time. Need I go on?
Well, I didn't...
Just sing it!
I could see right up your poop...
All right! Get that guy... What do you want?
This is David Hall, Phil.
Yeah.
You're out of control, man. Just do the number, okay? I want you to sing with her.
Wait a minute. I beg your pardon?
I said to sing with her.
It'll be good, Phil. You watch.
It'll be good? What do you? What am I supposed to...
Just don't worry about it, Phil.
You better sing, Henry. You're the guy who opened his big mouth.
Say you... Say me... Say it for always. Give it a little panache, Phil. That's the way it should be. Now you.
Say you, say me.
Holy Jesus!
Say it together. Naturally.
Cut.
All right, well, I didn't ask to go on this thing, okay?
Well, it's really, I'm looking at your enchilada.
There you go. There's the fundraiser with Margaret, with Lloyd, with David Hall, and with me from earlier this year, raising $50 million to kill Arafat. And I don't think we ever really did get the money together. Shock of all shocks. I don't even think we couldn't get the tune together. My favorite part of that bit is where Margaret just lays into Lloyd with a couple of good shots. Just boom, boom. And she just, that was the best part of it. And, of course, the belch. How can you not remember that? Memorable moments in comedy. This belch, that fart, this belch, that fart. There you go. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhendrieshow.com. Coming up on the 22nd to the 24th, it's going to be a free weekend. And if you would like to get a backstage pass, but you're not sure about the quality of the material we've got on our website, not sure about the quality of the archive material, and, you know, you just think you've heard it sucks, and you've heard rumors that it's not all it's cracked up to be. Why don't you check it out the weekend of the 22nd to the 24th, and I guarantee you'll become a Backstage Pass member. I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee it. Then, how can I make a guarantee like that? There's no way. Some guy will just say, well, I'm not going to do it if you guarantee it. See, that makes you wrong. Now, the other thing we're going to be doing is the Thanksgiving Day weekend special, our Thanksgiving Bobby Dooley Marathon. Man, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be Thanksgiving weekend, the 28th and 29th. That's Thanksgiving weekend, the 28th and 29th, our Bobby Dooley special. And then, of course, our webcast, second annual webcast of the Phil Henry Show, December the 20th. It's all coming up. Just coming attractions here on the Phil Henry Show. We're going to continue our Veterans Day special. We got more R.C. Collins, and we have got a Lloyd classic. When he was on last Memorial Day talking about a lady ordering hot dogs over a cell phone, you won't want to miss that one. Coming up here on our Veterans Day special on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right. Yeah, this is our Veterans Day special of Phil Henry Show. Very proud to be presenting sort of how do I put this? It's kind of a warped view of veterans. Well, not real veterans. I mean, well, Lloyd is, but RC is. He's in the Bradley Military Academy. He thinks he's all that, but he ain't none of this, as we like to say on the show. And before we get into our next cut, just a note on the anti-war movement, the anti-Iraqi war movement that you've been hearing so much about. I asked my producer and my engineer here and my associate producer exactly why are people against the war in Iraq, those who are. And they said, well, from what we understand, Barbara Streisand said that Iraq didn't fly into the World Trade Center. I said, okay, thanks. Just wanted to know. Okay, let's do it, man. Let's get into this. R.C. Collins was on the show talking about how older women don't deserve as much protection as younger women once the war with Iraq starts. And he feels that he and his buddies from the military academy can best serve women by going out to bars, picking them up, and taking them to dinner. And here he is talking with one of our callers, R.C. Collins, on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Commandant Wireman, this is Cadet R.C. Collins.
How are you, Cadet?
Fine, sir.
What can I do for you, Mr. Henry?
We have a caller on the line, Joan. You wanted to express some complaints, correct, Joan?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you been listening to this program?
I have not, unfortunately. We are preparing for the Commandant's Ball.
Excuse me. I think you need to request a copy, a tape of your young man's interview. His analogy of the women in America as cattle, filet mignon, sirloin steak, flank steak, and breaking them off in categories.
Yes, ma'am.
And his language.
What language,
grammar
may
is so appalling that I wonder what Bradley's doing.
What language
has
he?
I'm sorry, now listen to you.
Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You do not use language unbefitting a cadet of the Bradley Military Academy to one of the women of our nation. That's number one. And you have compared women to meat. That's number two. You will kiss the gunner's daughter.
Oh, no, sir, please. Don't.
Yes, you will kiss.
What's kiss the gunner's daughter?
He'll be laid over a cannon, and he will be, we use the old Naval Academy flogging. And he will be beaten.
Sir, I don't think.
Yeah, see what you did, Joan? Thanks a lot.
No, Joan, you did it.
No, Joan, you didn't do anything wrong. You'll kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below, Mr. Henry, for the makings. Now then.
What do you mean, take him below? I'm doing a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Joan?
Yes?
Joan, yes, this is Commandant Wireman. God bless you and the great service you've done to our nation.
He's been doing it to the entire American population, men and women.
Oh, please, I don't want to kiss the gunner's daughter.
You'll kiss the gunner's daughter.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
Well, the gunner is a nickname for my rear end, and his backside will bleed tonight. I can Joan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm not requesting anything like that, but I think you need to know that.
I'm going
to
beat him until the skin's flayed off of his buttockle area.
I don't know that that's a legal thing to do.
No, ma'am. We must. It is legal when the parents turn their children over to us at Bradley. We're a private military installation.
Well, he's been bragging about his father's being very rich.
Well, I know his father is very wealthy. He's a member.
And some people there that are his friend, homates have been pulled up by their bootstraps. And, he's making Bradley a laughingstock where...
How dare you?
I wouldn't want my grandson to go there.
Why, you little B-A-S-T-A-R. How do you spell it?
D.
That's right. I can assure you, Joan, he'll be in intensive care by the end of this evening.
Well, I'm not asking for that, but I do think
you need to be aware of this program
and listen to.
I'd like to offer you, Joan, if you'll give us your address, a photograph of the skin flayed from his rear end.
I don't want that. I don't want that, but I do want...
You do not want that.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
No, Commandant Wireman, we don't need that, okay?
I would like... And then I would like to kick him in the face and make blood come from his eyes.
Now
please!
Now you make me wonder more about the academy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is to hug the young girls, hug the older women a little longer, and then take the young girls, he said, to a champagne dinner and then a reception at your home.
Yes.
We have
the Commandant's Ball, and then I host one of the young virginal debutantes for a nightcap in my quarters.
That's what he said.
Good God.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know how appropriate that is.
Joan, have you
I've wondered about that, but I'm not going to
Joan, have you ever seen the Commandant's Balls? I mean, the Commandant Ball?
Okay. Joan, thanks very much.
Well, wait a minute. I was just getting to know her. But...
Yes, sir. There's Commandant Wireman along with Harvey Wireman there from the great Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. I guess we should call that one, if it makes the CD, the Commandant's Ball. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We actually had a guy call and say, are you going to do the Gunner's Daughter bit? And yeah, see that whole Gunner's Daughter? I got that out of a movie called The Bounty with Anthony Hopkins and Mel Gibson. And in one point, Anthony Hopkins plays Captain Bly on The Bounty, and at one point he's disciplining one of the men who'd done something wrong. Very well, you shall kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings. And I'm thinking, I don't know what any of that is, but it sounds cool. So that's what we did there. Mr. Henry, take him below for the makings. All right, we'll be right back with another classic from Lloyd here on our Veterans Day special, and this is one... where Lloyd does a little grocery shopping for hot dogs. Coming up next on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're going to continue with our Veterans Day special here on The Phil Hendry Show with a variety of cuts from guests we've had relative to topics military. And primarily that means Jay Santos. It means Lloyd Bonafide. I guess we didn't get to Jay today, did we? But we did get to Harvey Wireman was there, Lloyd and R.C. Collins. And we have a Lloyd bit coming up here in just a second. But we wanted to reflect a bit on the big news. And the big news today is that the butler for Princess Diana has written a book, I guess. He's on a big whirlwind tour of the United States. And apparently the royal family called Princess Diana some kind of a harlot. And then I read there were rumors of gay rape in Buckingham Palace. One of the butlers was raped by another butler in Buckingham Palace. Or maybe he was raped by Prince Philip. Or maybe one of the butlers gay raped the Queen. But I don't know. I at this point, it's anybody's guess what's going on in that palace. You know, years ago, they had insanity in Buckingham Palace, and they actually suspected Jack the Ripper of being a member of the royal family. Because there was one of the nieces or one of the princes or one of the dukes that was nuts. It was a king. He was out of his freak. I'm talking about, what do you mean, King George? The madness of King George? I know he was peeing blue for a while. These people are so inbred that they're insane. That's the problem. King George, you ever seen that movie, The Madness of King George? He had some disease where he would pee blue like 2 weeks out of the month, and he'd go nuts, and the other 2 weeks he was fine. And they didn't know back then, now they know what it is, some kind of a neurological disorder that makes you pee blue. Are you ready for this? It was in the movie. Did you see the movie? I saw the movie, I didn't read the book. That's me. I like that guy that called the other week, he said, I said, have you read the autobiography of Malcolm X? No, I saw the movie. Oh, okay, well, that's got you... You're wired in on that. Do we need to take a... do we need to go here now? We can go now? Well, but in any event, you got to look at some of this news that's coming out of there. There's story, and then this Prince Philip. Isn't this guy another one that's inbred with the big ears, and he's an idiot? He's always saying stuff about blacks and the Chinese, and he doesn't know how to order food. He can't go into a store. He doesn't know how much stuff costs. He's a mess. Of course, I think he was my best pal if I could just spend a couple of, you know, spend a couple of years' salary of that guy. Anyway, coming up now, Lloyd, who was upset on Memorial Weekend when he walked into the post office and heard a woman ordering hot dogs. He thought that was disrespectful on such a somber occasion, and here's what he did.
Yes, sir, I was in the post office today, and I was mailing some Memorial Day greeting cards. And on this, the most sacred weekend, I think, in all of our calendar year, because it honors the dead, it honors the war dead, men and women, white and black, who gave their lives so that we can breathe the sweet, fragrant air of freedom. And as I am putting stamps on these greeting cards, there's a woman on a cell phone, some, you know, woman standing there on a cell phone. And I heard her asking, I don't know who it was, but she asked, how many hot dogs do you want? Now, I will tell you something. On the most sacred weekend that our country knows in terms of honoring our fighting men and women, this, and I will be very gentlemanly about it, woman says to somebody on the phone, how many hot dogs do you want me to get?
Well, all right.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say it's Memorial Weekend. People buy hot dogs.
You can go into a supermarket and talk like that. You could go into the local 7-Eleven or any of the other areas where the groceries are made. But I'm standing there putting stamps on cards to send to men who fought, some of whom were injured. I know at least three buddies got the Purple Heart in Korea. And here's this...
woman, I mean, what's wrong with...
It's just difficult for me to say. And there she is, hey, yeah, hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Because she, you know what, how many hot dogs do you want? And I was so angry that I felt I needed to be moved to action.
And I don't get what made you angry about that. I mean...
This is Memorial Weekend. Are you a veteran, sir?
I'm sorry?
Are you a veteran?
No, sir, I am not a veteran. But there's nobody's... I am second to no one in honoring the work of our veterans.
Well, I don't think you could really understand what it is to be a veteran unless you are one. But I'm going to ask you something, and you tell me what's wrong with this. I felt like I needed to remind her what weekend... I'm so angry, I'm shaking.
Go ahead. All right, so she said... She's obviously talking to a husband or somebody.
I don't know who in Jesus she's talking to, but I'm standing there about ready to slip into the mail slot a card saying thank you for getting your arm blown off for our country, and she's on the phone saying, yeah, and how many wieners do we need? And I was so incredibly indignant that I went out to my truck because I'd been to the supermarket. And, sir, I think there are times that even extreme action is justified. And I had purchased some mustard, and I had some hot dog buns.
So you had hot dogs, huh?
But I had the decency and the common courtesy to buy them in a grocery store and not talk about them in a post office next to a veteran mailing off reminders of a man getting his face blown to bits.
All right.
So I went and I got a hot dog bun, and I pulled my thing out, and I'm saying that...
Okay, all right, look, sir, I'm...
No, I'm saying this, sir, with as much decency as I can pull together. I put my...
You put your penis into the bun?
Yes, sir, I did, and I put mustard on it. All right, I guess you're going to hang up on me.
No, I'm not going to hang up on you. Is this what you did? What did you do? So you go out to your car, you get a hot dog bun out of a bag?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
You put your thing into the hot dog bun, and then you slap mustard on it?
Yes, sir. And I walked back inside that post office. Now, technically, this is not harassing, nor is this any kind of indecent exposure. It's a practice of free speech. But I went up to the woman, and I said, here... I got your hot dog swinging, and I showed her the bun, and I...
So you exposed yourself to a woman because...
No, sir, I did not.
You pulled out your thing and put it in a hot dog bun and put mustard on it.
Because she's in there saying, how many wieners do you want? Into a cell phone the day before Memorial Weekend.
And I still don't get what's wrong with that.
Well, you're not a veteran, sir.
All right, so you put it into the bun.
I put it in the bun. And then she said to me, and you got to listen to this because I have every right to do what I did next. She said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie. Now, I blacked out. And
Let me get the chronology. You walked up to her and you said, here's your hot dog, and you had your thing in a bun with mustard on it.
Yes.
And she said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie.
You know, sir, if you're going to laugh...
Sir, I'm sorry, all right, but you got to understand...
No, if you're going to laugh, it just disrespects the memory of every man who lies at Normandy.
Oh, come on.
Sir, I honestly...
All right, look, she said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie, and then you blacked out?
Because I've got an... You don't ever insult a veteran, and I've got an issue with my anger. And I blacked out, yes.
Well, okay, so what happened? Did she hit you? Or...
No, I came to a couple of hours later... And all I remember, I'm just so...
What?
I had her wig in my hand, and in the other, my hand was still around the bun with my thing in it. And I'm just so humiliated. Everything went black. I woke up 2 hours later holding her wig and my thing still in the bun. I came home. I had to shower.
I would imagine.
The mustard that I used was Gulden's Spicy, which caused some rashing. And for my trouble, I haven't even gotten so much as a call from the VFW, American Legion.
Well, why would they call you, sir? That's going to be...
Because I called them and told them what I'd done, and I asked for a call from the post commander by way of commentary, and there was nothing.
Yeah, well, there it is. There's Lloyd on Memorial Day. You got that hot dog swinging, man. What a sick animal, huh? Well, that concludes the Veterans Day portion of our program. It really doesn't conclude the Veterans Day portion of our program, but it does conclude us remembering and bringing back some of our guests from the years past. And just so you know, the voices of the guests done on this show are done by me, Phil Hendry. You know, Fox interviewed me 2 weeks ago, just so I could drop another name, and they said, why do you tell people that it's you? And I said, well, it's because when I do, more people listen to our radio show. And ever since we've been telling people that I do the voices, things have actually turned for the better. We actually have people listening to our show now. We're not sliding off the chart here. No, in any event, that was a lot of fun. Look for some of these cuts, by the way, on our 2002 CD. Look for them on our world-famous Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD. A double-sider. It'll be actually a two-CD. I shouldn't say double-side. It's a two-CD set for the price of one. We're not upping the price one nickel this year. It's still going to be $20, but you get two CDs worth of material instead of one, and the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. So we ought to be ready for that in time for Christmas. There's no doubt about that. We'll have those CDs in time for Christmas vacation, and then we'll do a few signings around town so that you guys can access our CDs. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and check out all the other CDs that we've had for my friend's place. Get a backstage pass. You can hear, as I said, a lot of these cuts you heard today on our new 2002 coming up. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Extreme Radio. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I got rid of Sims, and now I'm on Madden 2003. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry, and I have no life. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing about me and my lack of life. You'll be getting inside and the inner workings of Phil Hendry. Just who is he, and why is he so dull at home? Yes, it's the Phil Hendry Show's I Got No Life. I am on Madden 2003, inventing football teams, giving them names, and putting players onto the roster, and having them play simulated games. Am I mental? Yes. Do I need a life? Yes. Does my wife care? No. Did my wife actually go out and buy me a game controller to go along with the mouse? Yes. Because we had an argument on Saturday morning, and I told her that the cat was driving me nuts and that I did not want the little kitten out of the room to spread its cat crap all over the house because we already have the big fat cat that's puking and crapping everywhere. And she got hurt and she cried, and so she felt like she'd let me down, and she went out and bought me a game controller. Yes. Now all I have to do, if my parents were alive, well, one of them is barely, but if my mother and father were still around, all I'd have to do to be just like Craig Taylor is move in with them. And play video games all day long. So I gave the Sims game to my wife, and it'll be, I'm giving it about 3 days, and she'll be all over that like white on rice. She said, I'm just a solitaire player. But I see her eyeing the Sims game off the corner of her eye. She'll be on that thing. She'll be all over that in a New York freaking second. Now, yeah, this cat. See, here's the thing. Furniture, cat, claws, no. It gets ripped to shreds, don't it? You get this kitten who thinks it owns the house now. That's the thing about a cat. First of all, cats by themselves are a pain in the ass anyway. But a kitten, oh, they think they run the world. They can jump up on drapes, claw your face in the middle of the night. You can wake up in the middle of the night with a cat sitting on your face, and you're supposed to smile and enjoy it. And not pick it up and heave it against a wall, which is your instinct. And it'll dig its claws into brand spec. I got a chair that I just recovered in leather, and it'll dig its claws into that and ruin that before the night's out. And so they open the door and they let the thing run through the house. I said, why is this cat running through the house? Well, I thought, you know, we want to get the big kitty to get to know the little kitty. I said, Well, that's fine, but don't we have to have it declawed, and where is it going to crap? And other major questions like that? Well, we have its crap box, then we have the big cat's crap box. Of course, the big cat needs another crap box because he's used to crapping now out in the den. You understand what's happening, don't you? You understand what's going on in my life. I got this big black and white fat, fat, huge cat. This cat now goes anywhere it feels like. My entire den is now a cat box. It's now the cat box. Oh, well, let's see, the box or the den. Well, I'll go in the den. And that's where it goes. This is what the vet said. So the vet says, you know what you should do is get a box and put it in there for him. And it's all beginning to really not be worth it. It really is not worth it. Plus, the cat I brought for my daughter, she's not all that. The cat likes me better than it does her. So the cat is always trying to claw to get into our room at night. And it's a nice cat. He sits there and he talks to me and, you know, we play checkers. Then he crashes. And every time I try to give him back to Catherine, it just howls and moans and hisses like she's doing something to it in a very aberrant fashion. I haven't asked her yet. Catherine, what are you doing with this cat?
None of your beeswax.
Well, look. The cat's afraid of you. What are you doing to it? What are you, dressing it up, putting it in a bonnet, and sticking it in a little baby carriage or something? You can't do these things. Cat has dignity. A cat has dignity. Haven't you seen the literature? Cats have the same rights as a, say, mentally retarded child. There's no difference between a cat and a human that has an IQ of 60. That's what a lot of people believe. They believe that there's an actual equity between an animal and a human who ain't too bright. Seriously. Which means that a human that ain't too bright and a cat, in the minds of some people, would have the same constitutional rights. Like killing a human who is of low IQ. Do you agree that's murder or not? Of course. Craig is not sure now. Craig's like, well, you know. Well, what do you call that? Harvesting weeds or something? What is it? It's killing a person. Kill a cat? Now some of these people want that to be murder, too. You can go away for a long time, pal, if you just take a cat and throw it into a ravine. You can go away for 20 years, Leavenworth. Some people want to do that. If you took a cat, a burlap sack, threw it in, bunch of rocks, tossed it into the lake, you're going away, pal, and maybe to the big house. Because some people want to have it that way. This is how nuts we are. It's the same thing that I was talking about this anti-Iraq war people. Why are they against this war in Iraq again? Nobody's been too clear on this, and I'm trying. I'm sort of just negotiating my way through the news. The last thing I heard that was of any clarity at all, and we mentioned it last hour, Barbara Streisand said Iraq didn't fly into the World Trade Center. I think that's what she said. Am I right? Oh, okay, well. Iraq didn't fly into the World Trade Center. You know, there's this real attitude about the world as if it works the same way that it used to. It doesn't work the same way that it used to. A little tiny country like Iraq can have just as much juice as Nazi Germany if it's got the same connections to these different terror cells that the Nazis had to their own party. So a guy like Hussein, who, by the way, is not hurting, man, he's got all kinds of bread pouring in from Europe. The French are falling all over themselves to do business with this guy. The Germans cannot be nice enough. They're falling all over themselves to do business. He's got all kinds of business contacts in the Middle East. And get this. Guess who's still buying oil from him? We are. We are. We're still buying oil from him. In the modern world, of blurring national boundaries and ever-changing political and geopolitical relationships, anybody can be a threat. And if I were talking this way before September the 11th, you'd say that I was just blathering on some paranoid political nonsense. And you may be saying that right now. And if you are, fine, you know, bug off. Who needs you? But the fact is, today, post 9/11, what I'm saying makes total sense. And if you don't believe that Iraq could be a threat, look, they tried to kill the President of the United States. Or does that matter to anybody? Do you know that they tried to kill a President of the United States? Now, you may not like George Sr. I didn't. Didn't think he was much of a president. Had a pretty good job, you know, did a nice thing there in the Gulf War. But as a president, he was pretty bad. He wasn't, in fact, he didn't even want to be president. He was looking at his watch during those debates. He wanted to go back up to Kennebunkport and go water skiing. But the fact of the matter is, he was a president of the United States, and the Iraqis tried to kill him. Tried to assassinate him when he was visiting Kuwait. I don't know about you, I take that personally as an American citizen. Not because of Bush, but because of the office of the presidency. And I am not convinced that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Al-Qaeda was meeting with an Iraqi intelligence agent in Prague the summer before the whole thing came down. Or is that just a coincidence? So exactly why are people against a war on Iraq? Why is there an anti-Iraq war contingent in this country? I say, as I've said all along, these are 60s wannabes. People who missed out on the party and the good times of the anti-Vietnam days. People who missed out on the big party and the good times of the free love, free sex, free drugs, the good rock and roll. Back when rock shows were not sponsored by anybody. Back when Woodstock, you understand, the original was not sponsored by anyone. It was just some guys put some bands up on a stage, and a whole lot of people got in for free and smoked a lot of weed, dropped some acid, and then went home. So, you know, these people today, they wish they could have been in on that. They wish they could have been in on that, oh, that whole righteous scene. And they weren't. So they put on their designer glasses. They parked the Bentley around the corner. They put on some faded jeans. They walked down the street with a peace sign. They walked down the street with the anti-war sign. And they want to feel like, you know, it's 1969 all over again. And it's a joke. They look stupid. They act dumb. They don't know what they're talking about. They couldn't tell you why they're against the war in Iraq. They just want to walk down the street with their designer shades and the Bentley keys in their pocket. You know, with nothing better to do with their lives. Then we got all these people, these agendas, like, who the hell are these cats that are at every one of these WTO meetings? Anyway, man, what is up with this? Wearing ski masks, disrupting international trade because, what, the Jews run it? You guys are all a bunch of anti-Semites, you know that? All you anti-WTO cats, you're all anti-Semitic. You all buy into that whole international Jew conspiracy thing. You ain't liberals. You're all just a bunch of neo-fascists. Bunch of neo-fascists, man. Neo-Nazis. What is this trip with you, you know, driving down the street, man, in the middle of a WTO meeting in some town in Europe with a skull makeup on and a black cape and, the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Why don't you, like, get out of the costume, man, and hit the classifieds. Do you understand that there are, you know, there's actually some movement forward going on? There actually is a little bit of movement forward going on. And we ultimately have control over the system. I don't have to run up and down a street in Washington, D.C. or Venice or Rome or anywhere else screaming and yelling in a diaper with, a skull and crossbones makeup on my face, feeling impotent. It's the one thing when every time I look at those people, they are the most powerless-looking people I've ever seen in my life. Powerless. I mean, look at those anti-war cats. Powerless, man. They got nothing going on. Nothing. I mean, it's just like beating your fist against a stone wall. You might as well go home, peel off the makeup, pick up a book, pick up a notebook, better to it, and begin to work behind the scenes. Start using what you got, man. Use your brains. Get a job. Start a business. Invent something. Boy, do I sound like my old man. Wow! How things have changed in 30 years. Sound just like my old man. Yeah, but you want to know something? He was wrong back then. I'm right now. Dig that? Back then he was wrong. Right now I'm right. I believe it, too. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
So this butler, I guess, is going to make himself a bundle of dough with this book because he's doing a tour of the United States, a media press tour, where you go around and you talk to the various television and radio stations, and you talk to the newspapers, and he wrote a book about what goes on in Buckingham Palace, and it would make you puke. Speaking of make you puke, did anybody see The Sopranos last night? What a show that was, man. That was one of the all-time greats. And I don't want to give anything away, but on this program, we really don't care. Ralphie's dead. Ralphie was murdered by Tony Soprano, and then his head was cut off, and his hands were cut off. They stuck that in a bowling bag, buried that in the back of some guy's yard, and then they threw the rest of the body into the ocean. Mike, or Christopher Moltisanti, helped Tony do it. Christopher looked at Tony. How many people think that Christopher's ready to turn on Tony and go to, like, one of the families in New York and say, he killed a made guy, he killed a capo, he didn't get approval, permission for this? This is a bad thing. The reason why he killed Ralphie is because Ralphie had killed a favorite horse of Tony's in what Janice and I think, actually Janice came up with this first and then I followed suit, was revenge for Tony going out with Ralph's ex-girlfriend. But Tony, you know, likes animals, and that to me is what really tripped him out. So he strangles this guy, Ralph. They have this big fist fight in the kitchen of this guy's house. Ralph grabs a bottle of bug spray, sprays it in Soprano's eyes, and then Soprano just throws him to the floor, beats his head on the cement, and kills him. That the great actor, just like that, gone from the series. And who's going to complain? It was very compelling. Why was it compelling? Not because I enjoy violence. Quite frankly, it was scary, but because the unpredictability of that series is so refreshing. Oh, my God, is it so welcome. The unpredictability. They have absolutely no respect for the audience, which I think is a good thing. They don't pander to anybody. They don't say, oh, well, we better lead people by the hand. They may not understand what we're trying to say. The violence is scary, nauseating. It isn't thrilling. It isn't exhilarating. There's nothing about the violence in that show that is whoop-de-doo, you know, like a roller coaster ride. It could make you puke. The two most violent episodes involve that Ralphie character. The one where he killed that dancer, and now this one last night where he himself dies. And something else. Anyway, not to belabor the point, I think Christopher is going to, I think he's going to turn on Tony. I think he knows this is a bad guy to align himself with now that he did that. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ruben on the Phil Hendry Show. Ruben?
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Fine.
I'm a huge fan for years, but...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a little tired of the saber rattling, though. It's you know, I think you're an extremely talented individual. I think you're a genre of one. But, you know, I don't think that... I think you're trapped in a World War II mentality. Whereas you say that people are against the war trapped in a Vietnam mentality.
No,
I think that
true.
You see the world with clear-cut good guys and bad guys, bad nations, good nations.
Let me ask you, why no war in Iraq?
Why no war in Iraq?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm assuming you're against the an Iraq war.
I am against an Iraq war. I think that it would destabilize the entire region. I think that those populations, I don't think we have a good plan.
Do you think the Gulf War destabilized the region?
I don't think we removed a regime in the Gulf War.
No, but did it
destabilize? We created a vacuum of power in the Gulf War.
Did it destabilize the region?
We didn't create a vacuum of power. We didn't remove a regime.
Let me ask you a question. Let me go back and ask a better question. That was a bad question to ask. Why are you worried about destabilizing the region?
That's 1 billion people on this planet.
Why are you
with each other.
Why are you worried about destabilizing that region, really?
I think that war spreads. War has a way of
staying
right where it is.
It might get to you?
One population, not one nation to another,
right.
One population to another that crosses boundaries. There's Kurds in Turkey. There's Kurds in Iraq.
So what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with war spreading?
Yeah.
Well, I think we'd all like to see a world that didn't have a massive war spreading across the Islamic world.
No, but if it's necessary, why not? Why not?
Well, it's not necessary.
How do you know?
Well, how do you know?
Well, number one, I know
that's
this.
Not a
those
good
are
way to
well.
Go.
I can tell you this: those are artificially drawn boundaries.
That's part of the problem.
That is a region of the world that has needed to sort itself out for a long time. And what they did wrong. Here's what they did wrong. They allied themselves with some kind of an anti-American rhetoric, which is fine, they're entitled to that, which murdered 3,000 of my fellow citizens. There's where they screwed up. They can do whatever they want.
But that's not Iraq.
They can... Is that right?
That's not Iraq per se. Iraqi's a fairly secular nation. I mean, actually, it's very secular.
Very anti-American. The government there, as you know, is extremely anti-American.
But the population is not, and the population is what we have to deal with. And I don't think.
Wait a minute. Are we having to deal with a population that is creating bacteriological wars, weapons, and biological weapons, or is it a guy?
I take back the population is, I think, what we should try to, you know. Try to deal with, of course.
How do we deal with them without getting rid of what's-his-face?
I don't know. I think there's ways through PR. I think that we are a brilliant PR country when we put our minds to it. I think one of our greatest assets is our ability to advertise ourselves and to push ourselves, you know, ideologically into other nations and not necessarily through, you know, bombs.
Such as
now,
give me country in the Middle East. Now, that's a really good point you're making, and I agree that our culture is very attractive. But to actually change a regime, look at Iran, for instance. Iran was westernized along the lines that you're talking about. They weren't democratic, but they certainly were boogieing to the disco. And, man, they've gone the other direction.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, the same thing. So how is it American culture so compelling that it's going to actually affect some sort of monstrous change in the way people govern themselves?
Well, I wouldn't think that we could change the regime through trying to sell American culture. And selling American culture is not exactly what I mean either. I just mean using our ability for public relations and advertising and things like that to try to present an image of ourselves that wouldn't be so negative. It wouldn't instigate such feelings of hatred and wouldn't radicalize.
When the guy who runs the country's
propaganda
machine, if the guy who runs the country's propaganda machine is in charge of what the people hear and what the people see, how are we going to get around that? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, look, what's wrong with a war when it solves problems? Well, there's nothing wrong with a war that solves problems. You see, I believe that war in one form or another is always going to be with us. And in one form or another, I said, maybe the internal conflict, the internal wars that wage. But it's always going to be here. At least it'll be here for the foreseeable future. We ain't getting rid of it anytime soon. I hate to break the big news. This may be the dawning of the age of Aquarius, but somewhere it ain't now, man. I don't know when it is. It's down the road a ways. Sometime wars purify and literally are necessary to shake up and to reorder places that need shaken up and reordering. And if there is ever a place that needed a little shaken up and reordering, it's the Middle East. I've never seen anything like it. Well, I have. If you read history, you realize that this is an area of the world that is reacting the way most areas of the world reacted after freedom from colonialism. The European colonialism that we read about in school, you remember when they went over and they formed the 13 colonies? Well, there are all kinds of countries doing that. France did it, and England did it with the colonies, the American colonies, and the Dutch did it, and they went around the world. Europe at that time was a continent that was exploring and exporting culture based upon Christian, sort of a manifest destiny of Christianity. Like I was telling you guys the other day, everybody can call Columbus a racist, but if Columbus was a racist, which yes he was, by the way, every one of you listening to me right now would have been one too, and me included. So let's get off of this kick about Columbus was a real pile of crap, because if he was, we all would have been. We would have been products of the time. But what Europe did is it went to Africa, it went to the Middle East, it went to a lot of places and said, ta-da, there's the Union Jack, and there's the American flag, and there's the Portuguese flag. The Portuguese, by the way, were the real pieces of crap in the history of the world. They're the ones that went around the bottom, the Cape Horn, what is it called? Cape Horn? Yeah. Down at the bottom of Africa. They went around. They're the ones that the Islamic people there on the southeastern coast of Africa, when they first laid eyes on the Portuguese, said, the devil has brought you. You have come from hell. They knew what they were in for. This was a European nation, empowered militaristically, narrow in its philosophy of itself, and that is what inflicted itself on Africa and the Middle East. So if people say, yeah, the world's a product of the colonialist ways of the European powers, yeah, in many ways it is. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. Okay, so what do you want us to do? You want us to go back in the time machine and redo everything? Do you want us to go pat people on the head when they fly airplanes into buildings? Or would you like us to sit and do nothing and hope it goes away? Now, there's also the other school of thought that believes that constant, intensive diplomacy, sitting down and reasoning is going to finally break it through. No, it won't. Not in every instance. Not when you're dealing with unreasonable people. Not when you're dealing with people who have no reason or people who are bent on manipulating you. You are a naive person to believe that you can sit down and diplomatically, across the table, work it out with anybody. Forget it. Forget it. Not going to happen. Some people have to have a gun put to their head, and it's unfortunate, but they do. Some people just have to have a gun put to their head. That's the only thing they understand. It's the only thing they'll react to. I don't want to get specific. I've had instances in my life, in my life, and if you look at your own life, you know the same is true, where all the talk in the world, man, wasn't going to change something. And you had to act. You had to do. So, you know, people don't want a war with Iraq, and I ask why, and they say, because it'll kill people. Yeah, war kills people. I also like this one. There's a contingent of Gulf War veterans who are saying we should not go over there because our troops will be in jeopardy. I don't understand that. Are you saying they'll get shot at? Yes. Are we now living in a day and age where we have to protect our troops from harm because they may get shot at? Is there now an agenda, a national, some kind of a social agenda where soldiers need to be protected from being shot at? Is that what we're talking about? Don't send your soldiers to another part of the world unless you can guarantee that they won't get killed. Do we really believe that we can conduct a war like that? Are there really people out there who, weaned on television, weaned on endless reruns of I Dream of Jeannie and My Mother the Car, actually believe that we can fight wars without soldiers dying, and actually believe that if a soldier dies in a war, that makes the war wrong? Are there people like that? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. They're members of my generation. They're parents. I see them. They go to football games with me. They take the kids to school. They're us, the baby boomers. We created ourselves. We took so much acid. We dropped so much STP. We jammed down so much psilocybin and smoked so much freaking weed. We think we can fight wars without anybody getting shot. That's a good one. I mean, come on. I've seen some hallucinations in my life, but I've never deluded myself to that degree. But that's where we are now. And, of course, all those cats. Do you remember the Democratic Convention? What was it? In L.A. back in the summer 2000? And I remember seeing some dried-up old hag of a guy, some guy who still thought it was 1965, yammering on about police brutality. Chris was there. He saw the people throwing bottles of urine at the cops. He saw the cops getting baited. He saw the cops getting attacked. And he saw them respond. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. People wanted a confrontation, and they got it. And all that mealy-mouthed stuff on TV about police brutality. Oh, come on, man. Look, Rodney King, yes. I mean, there have been instances, you know, where you couldn't deny it. But don't tell me when you throw a bottle of urine on some guy and he comes back with a billy stick that it's police brutality. When you attack, he's going to use the stick, dummy. That's not police brutality. That's called a cop defending himself and cleaning the street up of all the urine, and you too. God. Sometimes war is necessary. And if it spreads, it spreads. I mean, I honestly don't know what we're going to be getting into when we finally engage Iraq militarily, but I know it's necessary, and I do know it's been long overdue. Long overdue. We have sat down and we have tried to make sense of an area of the world where so much of our energy resides. Yes, it was a mistake, but we are stuck now. There's no other oil, and we decided we didn't want to get into the solar power business and a million other reasons. But so, you know, the Norman Mailers of the world and the Johnny Depps of the world and the Woody Harrelsons of the world, you damn sure know those guys don't want to be out of gallon of gas for their ride, whatever it is. So you can talk about what a fascistic place America is, yeah, blah, 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 man. You still want to pay that $2.50 a gallon or $2 a gallon, and you still want to make sure that you got a little gas to put in that thing. So I'm real sorry it happened like that. The United States has a vital energy, a vital national interest in that part of the world. And I don't know what we're going to start, but I know that it's been a long time coming, man. It's been a long time coming. A long time coming. We've had airplanes blown out of the sky. We've had people murdered by the thousands. We've had machine gunners walking into airports. We've had discotheques blown to bits. We've had innocent people, one after the other, butchered up in a slaughterhouse that we are told is caused by us and our allegiance to the Israeli government. We're told that it would all end tomorrow if we stopped our support of Israel and just basically destroyed the Israeli nation, driving 5 million people into the sea. Then the Arabs would be happy, and then I suppose all the machine gunning, all the terror, all of the murder would end. That's what we're hoping. That's what they tell us would happen if we would just do all of these things. Well, we're not about to turn our back on the only democracy in that part of the world, Israel. The only true democracy in that, but we're not going to turn our back on them. It ain't going to happen. So you can give that one up, number one. Number two, the fact of the matter remains that a vital national interest is in that region, and that is oil, and that is energy, and we got to have it. And there's a guy there by the name of Saddam Hussein who has been funding terrorist operations throughout the Middle East and most probably did lay a few bucks on Al-Qaeda. And these people who say, you know, there was no real proof, you know, that Al-Qaeda, he has. Well, so what do you want, a signed letter? Dear Bin Laden, here is the 300 I promised you, signed Saddam. There it is, got it, okay. Proof positive. You know, there's such a thing as putting two and two together. And besides, wasn't it the stated doctrine, any country that harbors or sponsors terrorists is up for grabs, Jimmy? Well, say goodbye to Hollywood, Saddam. And if it engulfs the rest of the region, then it engulfs the rest of the region. And if some people who have been threatening extinction and genocide have to be wiped out themselves, then that's the way it's going to be, too. You know, like the man said, like Jay Santos likes to say, we can play it any way you want. We can play it the easy way. We can play it the hard way. We can do it any way you want to play it. But now's the time to strike. When you're the number one military might in the world, when you don't have to worry about the Russians getting on your case, now's the time to move. And it's a righteous cause. It has nothing whatsoever to do with wanting to become some hegemonist colonialist power. It has to do with protecting ourselves from a people who want us all dead. Americans and Jews dead. Remember that one? All dead. Okay, I'm all done, man. I that's it. I'm going home. In about 15 minutes. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, this is the part of the program where I'm given topics to talk about by members of my staff, and Craig threw out dance music, Janice threw out Thanksgiving, and I will intertwine both. And it turns out it's very fortuitous because dance music in my house is very big on Thanksgiving. I always have the cousins over, and we have my in-laws, and they're big dancers, or at least they think they are. And there's generally somebody brings over their CDs, and there is a dance-a-thon that goes on just before we sit down and eat. And a lot of the music is bad. Some of it's kind of good. Some of it's retro 80s stuff. And then I get in there and I put my Allman Brothers music on and, you know, everybody stops dancing. No, actually, I was told, put on something, Phil. Anything you like. Go ahead. Put on anything you like. And I don't know what I put on. It was a one of those cocktail lounge CDs that you have, Craig. And it just was like a lead balloon. Everybody just sat down. They didn't dig it. I got to get some of that techno crap you got. But what I do is, I think I did put on one of those CDs you gave me last year for Thanksgiving. And that's when I knew there was going to be trouble because everyone was just out of their mind. They were just dancing in a fever. It was just frenzied. It was a frenzied jungle-like dance before we sat down and had Thanksgiving. I don't know where we're going to have it this year, man. I haven't even thought about it. It ain't going to be at my house. Not if what happens this year happened last year. Did I tell you what happened last year? I told a little bit. A full-on fist fight broke out at my house last Thanksgiving. A fist fight. And this was after we were all dancing like a bunch of epileptics to whatever music we had on. Some Human League crap. I don't know what it was. That 80s, what happened in the 1980s? Did Americans just decide not to make music? Because it was nothing but that British stuff that was so impossibly horrible, it defies description. You want to take your own eyes out with grapefruit spoons, feeling the shame of not producing anything better than Johnny Loves Jazz, Human League, and the Thompson Twins. Where were our artists then? Were they all, you know, planning the grunge explosion of 1989, 1990? Was that what was going on? They were all in garages tearing their jeans? I borrowed one of the Best Of CDs for the Best Of the 1980 CDs from Craig Taylor so I could go home and remember when. Driving and listening to Level 42 what's that band? Oh, I was going to say Stray Cats, but they're American. But they suck, too. Yeah, they suck. Stray Cats? Look, man, anybody can do three-chord. Anybody can grease their hair into a processed pompadour, wear two-tone shoes, and play a stand-up bass. It's like... Oh, well, there's some music for you. That's what happens at my house on Thanksgiving. All of that crap music. Here you go. Listen to this. In a Big Country. Yeah. Uh-huh. How about this one? 99 Luftballons. Remember Nina? Nina was some kraut that decided she was going to sing a song in German. Can you imagine that? There she was saying it. That's that crap from... Here's Nina. And she went into a studio and... Whoa. Oh-ho, baby. Sieg Heil. You're going to sing it in English and you're going to like it. What do you think of that? You can't make me. I'm going to make you. English. Oh, bug off. Yeah, it's real rough, ain't it? It's rough being a teen in Germany, huh? It ain't German. She's just making it up. Lass uns ausreichen diesen Teig und machen das in der Aktion. Joe Boxers. What else we got here? The Flirts. Tears for Fears. The Romantics were American, weren't they? The Fix. Fix was actually pretty good. Oh, well, I don't want to start liking this music, do I? Spandau Ballet. What happened to us back then that we were listening to that? And then, of course, Craig's favorite band, Depeche Mode. Now then, how about this? Squeeze. I remember my ex-girlfriend was a big Squeeze fan. She'd listen to that. I go, what's the story? Jules Holland is just so great. Take it off of my stereo now. What else? Fun Boy 3. Three fat black British guys who hung with Bananarama. All in Bananarama? I mean, I dug them. They were cute and all that, but what? So, in other words, they got together, had some slow gin, sang in a garage, and they're a hit? And here I am still working for a living? Oh, well, I'm not going to hate them because they're beautiful. And then finally, a band called The Flirts. Anyway, but my favorite song, of course, is...
She said Kraut. I heard her say the Kraut. Six Luftballons. Das Bastard.
Here we go. Some of that Kraut techno. There you go. You got the Germans to thank for hip-hop, by the way.
Four four nine 8686. The world.